All right, so we are diving into President-elect Trump's cabinet picks today, and wow, they're really making some waves.
Yeah, they're certainly generating a lot of buzz.
There's this whole idea floating around that his choices could actually impact the Republicans' hold on the House. It's pretty wild when you think about it.
Yeah, it's definitely a scenario worth exploring.
We've got some great articles from Newsweek, Forbes, CBS News, The New Republic, and AP News to help us unpack all of this. They're all taking a deep dive into these picks and what they could mean.
Right, and there are a lot of angles to consider.
So today we're on a mission. Could Trump's cabinet picks actually cost the Republicans their majority in the House?
It's a fascinating question for sure, and the answer could have some pretty major consequences.
Exactly. So let's start with the basics. What's the current state of the House? How secure is that Republican majority?
Well, from what the projections are showing, it's going to be incredibly slim. We're talking a majority of 5 votes or maybe even less.
Wow. So every single seat is going to be crucial.
Absolutely. Every single seat matters in this situation.
And that's where these cabinet picks come in, right?
Exactly. This is where it gets really interesting.
Because if a representative gets chosen for a cabinet position, they have to leave their seat.
Right. They have to resign from the House to take on the new role.
And then there has to be a special election to fill that vacancy.
And those special elections can take months.
So during that time, the Democrats have a real chance to try and flip some of those seats.
That's the key point. There's a window of opportunity for the Democrats to potentially gain some ground.
So it's like this slow-motion political earthquake.
Precisely. Each cabinet pick from the House is another tremor shaking that foundation of the Republican majority.
And the Democrats are just waiting to see if it all comes crumbling down.
Exactly. They're watching very closely.
It's a pretty high-stakes game.
Oh, absolutely.
And some of the experts are even saying that this tight majority is going to make it nearly impossible for Speaker Johnson to get anything done.
Yeah, Jake Sherman, who founded Punchbowl News, actually pointed this out in Newsweek. He's pretty concerned about how this is all going to play out.
Yeah, one of the articles even quoted Representative Kelly Armstrong, a Republican from North Dakota. He said, "Working with a majority this thin is like playing with fire. You're one wrong move away from getting burned."
And that's a pretty accurate assessment, I'd say.
Okay, so we've got this razor-thin majority, and then we've got these cabinet picks, which could potentially make it even thinner. So let's dive into who Trump has chosen, who's in and who's out.
Well, some of these picks seem like pretty safe bets, you know, people who are expected to be in the mix.
Like who?
Well, Elise Stefanik, for example. A lot of people saw her coming as UN ambassador.
Right. All the articles paint her as a staunch Trump loyalist, someone who's not afraid to hold her own in those really intense UN meetings.
Exactly. She's known for being tough and standing her ground.
Okay, so she's a likely pick. What about some of the other names being thrown around?
Well, there are a few that are raising eyebrows, let's say. Choices that are a little more unexpected.
Like who? Give us the scoop.
Well, Mike Huckabee, for one, the former Arkansas governor.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, he's being tapped as the U.S. ambassador to Israel.
Interesting. He's been a vocal supporter of Israel for years, hasn't
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He's even led paid tour groups there.
So that's definitely a pick that aligns with some of Trump's previous stances on Israel.
Definitely. It sends a clear message about his priorities in the Middle East.
Okay, that's one. Who else?
Well, there's Kristi Noem, the governor of South Dakota.
I've heard her name mentioned as a possible VP pick before.
Yeah, she's been a longtime Trump supporter, but her appointment to Homeland Security isn't without its controversies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, some of the articles mention a few interesting stories.
Like what?
Well, there's this one about her claiming to have met Kim Jong-un, which turned out to be false.
Oh, wow.
And then there's that whole incident with her dog.
Oh, no. What happened with her dog?
It's a bit of a long story, but let's just say it involved a firearm.
Okay, we'll just leave it at that. So, definitely some colorful stories surrounding her.
Yes. But moving on, we have Lee Zeldin, a Trump ally who actually ran for New York governor.
Oh, right. I remember that.
He's set to lead the EPA.
Interesting choice.
He's got a background in law and is known for supporting those America First policies.
And what does that mean for the environment?
Well, he says he wants to unleash the potential of American businesses while maintaining high environmental standards.
Sounds like he's got a tough balancing act ahead of him.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out for sure.
Okay, so that's Huckabee, Noem, and Zeldin. Any other big names we need to know about?
Well, there's one more confirmed pick that we should definitely discuss.
Okay, lay it on us.
It's a name you might recognize from Trump's first term.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Someone's coming back.
Stephen Miller.
Oh, wow.
He's back as deputy chief of staff for policy.
Now, that's a name that's going to generate some strong reactions.
Yeah, he was the architect behind some of the more controversial immigration policies during Trump's first term.
Right, like the family separation policy?
Exactly. That one caused quite an uproar.
Oh. His return is definitely raising concerns among certain groups.
It's a move that signals a potential continuation of some of those hardline immigration policies.
And speaking of immigration, there's another figure we should mention.
Oh, right. Tom Homan.
The former ICE director.
He's coming back, too.
This time, as the borders are.
And he's already making predictions about mass deportations of undocumented immigrants under a second Trump term.
So it seems like immigration is going to be a key focus once again.
It's definitely shaping up that way.
So just from these confirmed picks, we're seeing a clear pattern emerging.
Oh, absolutely. A continuation of some of those Trump's more hardline policies.
And this is just the beginning. There are still several cabinet positions that need to be filled.
Right. And those choices could have just as much of an impact, if not more, on the House majority.
And of course, the direction of the country.
It's all interconnected.
So this is where it gets even more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
We've got these potential picks still up in the air.
And some of them could really shake things up.
So spill the tea. Who are we talking about?
It's wild to think about how much power really lies in these cabinet appointments. It's not just about, you know, who gets a fancy title. They can reshape the whole political landscape.
Totally. It's like each pick is a piece of the puzzle. Okay. And we're just trying to figure out what the final picture is going to look like.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the most interesting parts of this whole puzzle is the potential impact on policy.
Right. Their backgrounds, their beliefs, it all factors in.
Exactly. All of that shapes the decisions that are made.
We've already touched a bit on immigration, which seems like a pretty safe bet to be a hot button issue again.
Definitely.
But what about some of those other big areas like the economy or foreign policy? What kind of changes are we potentially looking at?
Okay, well, let's start with the economy. With Lee Zeldin at the EPA, it's probably safe to say there'll be a push for deregulation.
Especially in industries like oil and gas, I'm guessing.
You got it. He's a big America First guy.
Which usually means putting business interests first.
Often at the expense of environmental protections, unfortunately.
He did say he wants to unleash the power of American business.
Right.
Sounds like he's ready to clear some of those regulatory hurdles.
Yeah, and that whole economic nationalism theme, it'll likely go beyond just the EPA.
You think so?
I do. Remember, Trump's first term was all about bringing back manufacturing jobs, reducing those trade deficits, using tariffs as a negotiating tactic.
So with this cabinet, are we looking at a more isolationist approach to trade?
It's a real possibility, and that's something that could create some tension with our allies.
Especially in Europe and Asia.
Yeah, they rely heavily on trade with the U.S. It's a tricky situation, boosting American industry while trying not to alienate those key allies.
It's a tough balancing act.
No doubt.
And speaking of allies, Mike Huckabee, as ambassador to Israel, that sends a pretty clear message about Trump's priorities in the Middle East.
It does. He's been a staunch defender of Israel for years.
And this just solidifies that.
Totally. And this is where things could get really interesting. Remember Bezalel Smotrich?
Israel's finance minister?
That's the one. He sees Trump's win as an opportunity to annex the West Bank.
Right. The articles mention that. That's a move that could have some serious consequences.
It's huge. It would definitely inflame tensions in the region. It also shows how a Trump presidency could embolden right-wing elements within Israel.
And potentially make a peaceful resolution even more difficult.
Exactly.
So Huckabee's appointment reinforces that U.S.-Israel alliance. But it also adds another layer of complexity to an already volatile situation.
Right. It's like trying to solve a Rubik's Cube while riding a roller coaster.
That's a good one. And we can't forget about that fragile House majority.
Oh, yeah. That's the backdrop for all of this. Every cabinet pick from the House is another potential loss for the Republicans.
And the Democrats are just waiting to pounce.
Oh, absolutely. Newsweek actually pointed out that these special elections, they're like little time bombs for the Republicans. They create these openings for the Democrats to chip away at that majority one seat at a time.
It really highlights how crucial every single seat is right now.
Yeah.
It makes you think about how this is all going to play out in the long run. We're not just talking about the next 4 years.
Right.
These decisions could shape the country for a decade or more.
It's true. These appointments, they could have a lasting legacy, influencing everything from environmental regulations to foreign policy to the very structure of power in Congress.
It's like we're standing at a crossroads. There's so much potential for change, but also a lot of uncertainty and risk.
It's exciting and a little nerve-wracking, wouldn't you say?
Totally.
We're at a pivotal moment in American history, and it's hard to say exactly where it will all lead.
And you know what we haven't even touched on? What happens if the Republicans actually lose the House?
Oh, man.
What would that mean for Trump's agenda, for the country, for our place on the world stage?
That's the big question, isn't it? And it's a scenario that deserves a deep dive all on its own.
All right, so let's talk about that elephant in the room. What happens if the Republicans lose control of the House? How does that change everything we've been talking about?
Well, it could really change the course of Trump's presidency if the Democrats take over the House. It throws a wrench in his ability to get his agenda through.
So all those plans for deregulation, tax cuts, the border wall, they hit a wall of their own.
Exactly. Everything would require negotiation and compromise, passing laws, approving budgets, everything.
It'd be like trying to drive with one foot on the gas and the other on the brake.
That's a perfect way to put it. And it's not just about passing legislation. A Democratic House could launch investigations into the Trump administration.
Oh, wow. So more scrutiny than we saw during his first term.
Potentially, yeah.
Yeah.
They could look into everything. His cabinet, kicks his business dealings, his foreign policy decisions.
It'd be a constant battle.
Investigations take time and resources. It would divert attention from their goals.
So it's a tug of war between the White House and the House.
Yeah.
We talked earlier about how some of Trump's policies could create friction with our allies. Would a Democratic House change that?
That's a tough one. On one hand, a Democratic House might be a moderating force, pushing for a more collaborative approach to foreign policy.
So they might try to soften some of Trump's stances.
Especially on trade or international agreements?
So they'd be a check on his power.
Potentially, yeah. But then again, a divided government can lead to gridlock.
And inaction.
Right. It could be hard for the U.S. to show a united front on the world stage.
And that could weaken our influence.
Exactly.
It's a double-edged sword.
It is. You want those checks and balances. But you need a government that can function.
Right.
It really comes down to the people involved, their willingness to compromise, finding common ground even with their differences.
What strikes me is how unpredictable this all is. It's like watching a poker game, and we don't even know who has all the cards.
I like that. We have so many unknowns right now. Will the Republicans keep their majority? How will these picks translate into policies? Will our allies stick with us? All these questions will shape the next chapter of American politics.
It's a lot to think about.
It is. But instead of being overwhelmed by the uncertainty, I think it's a moment of possibility.
How so?
We're at a turning point. The stakes are high. The choices made now will have a ripple effect for years. It's a reminder that even in a system as big as ours, individual decisions matter.
That's a good point. It shows how important it is to stay informed, to talk about these issues and hold our leaders accountable.
Exactly. The future isn't something that just happens to us. It's something we shape.
So to wrap up this deep dive, I think the takeaway is this. Stay engaged. Stay curious.
Uh-huh.
And you never underestimate the power of your voice. Who knows what's next, but it's going to be a wild ride.
Well said. And we'll be here every step of the way, helping you make sense of it all.
Until next time, happy diving.